Charlie Brown is Snoopy, or Charlie Brown is Houston.
Yeah, I hope this is Houston. We're going to try to pick a Snoop up on our VHF ranging, but go ahead.
Okay, you didn't leave anybody in there, did you, Tom?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, this is Houston again. Tom, what we want you to do is to, in the attitude that you're going to now, this attitude we passed up to you, we want you to burn plus X instead of minus X. And this should give you separation based on this velocity, which we think is due to that pressure in the tunnel. And also we want you to enable Bravo 3 and Charlie 4 jets.
Okay, Bravo 3 and Charlie 4. Okay, now this is what I thought too, but we separated that attitude. Snoop took off in a vertical climb like mad, so we're going down and out in front of him, and so if we go down and thrust plus X, that'll take us down even further down in front. Over. Does your Fido agree with that?
I think they do, Tom. They're kind of scratching their heads right now. Roger on that. And the reason that Snoopy took off, we're showing that he vented all the pressure out of the cabin. We think that vented out through the tunnel, and that probably gave him some delta V.
Well, we had the hatch valve and auto set right and everything. Everything was squared away for Snoop.
Roger, we may have had some problem with some of that stuff sticking in valves,
yeah,
Tom.
Oh, I wouldn't believe that. It was like a snowstorm when Snoop dug off. You wouldn't believe it.
I'll bet that's right.
And it was right into the sun, babe. Right into the sun. How soon do you want to do this burn?
We want to sit tight for here a little while. We've got about another 20 minutes before we want to burn. We've got everything right before we torch off Snoopy.
Yeah, thank you. I think we'll be in good shape thrusting down, but that initial call out looks like that we were just trying to make another high side on him. We're going to use minus X.
Okay.
It's probably impossible to hit him if you aim to him anyway.
Charlie Brown, this Houston.
Yes, sir.
Roger, Charlie Brown. While these troops are getting all their numbers all confirmed here, let me pass up some other data to you. We've got a new sleep attitude we want for you to go to. This is to cool quad A. And the attitude is roll 090, pitch 210, yaw 000. And in that attitude, we'd like the high gain antenna pitch to minus 5, yaw to 231.
Okay, new sleep attitude is roll 090, pitch 210, yaw 3 balls, and high gain pitch minus 5 and yaw 231.
Roger, that's right, Gino. In addition, tonight we'd like a wastewater dump, and we'd like it at your convenience. That can be at any time, down to 25% again.
Okay, Joe. So almost everything, including going to bed, is going to have to be at our convenience before we get out of suits and things.
Yeah, okay. And did you happen to notice a docking angle when you came back through the tunnel? And also, did you get that big old canister back on board?
Yeah, Joe, we got the canister on board, and John greased it in again. The roll angle was plus 1/10.
Okay, plus 1/10. That's pretty darn good.
You don't believe that, do you, Joe?
I believe that, John.
It's the guy that lined it that made it that way.
I don't believe that, John.
It's got a sliding scale in the tunnel. We put it anywhere. Got a sliding scale in the tunnel. We put it anywhere we want to.
That I believe. Charlie Brown, this is Houston. In your configuration, in your sleep configuration, we want you to disable C and D quads with the auto RCS select. In the DAP, we want you to fail C and D and select AC roll in DAP. Charlie Brown, this is Houston. We want you to go ahead and initiate your plus X 2 foot per second NX now.
Roger. Okay, and I'll get that quad stuff back to you after we do this, Joe.
That'll be fine. Charlie Brown is Houston. Charlie Brown.
Hang on just a minute.
Go ahead, Orr.
Okay, we want you to enable all quads. That'll be 5-1s in your DAP.
Okay, we got 2.1 on plus X here. Radar disk you, X is 2.1, Y is 0.1, and Z is minus 0.1. Over.
Okay, Tom, we copy and verify on
and the 1.9 on EMS.
1.9, roger.
And 1.9 on EMS.
Charlie Brown, this is Houston. We show you separating, and we'll keep you posted on the countdown on the ignition. In the meantime, I've got a map update to send to you and also some data for your photography when you're ready to copy.
Roger. Look, we're working on a bush right now, and we don't need any more photography for today, Joe. Over.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to take us a couple hours to get out of the suits and to get all the spacecraft squared away and all the stowage squared away, and we've had a long day, so we want to, and we got a lot of landmark tracking to do tomorrow, so we just like to call it quits, over.
Yeah, we're still set up to do the contingency EVA. We got the gadgets stowed and everything.
Roger, we concur on that. One item I want to send up to you, though, in case you start to charge batteries in the morning before we get in contact with you, we're going to start charging A instead of B, but we'll give you a call first thing and when you wake up.
I'll wait to talk to you in the morning before I do that, huh?
That'll be fine,
hey,
Jim.
Joe, I wish they'd have woke. And any time tonight, if one of the other of those squads starts to heat up and we need to change the attitude, for crying out loud, call us and tell us.
Okay, we sure will, John.
Houston, this is Charlie Brown here. What's the analysis on that quad A? Are we near the fracture mechanics limits? It looks like it may be starting to cool off a little bit on the gauge and come down maybe to about 390 degrees. Could you give us a quick synopsis?
We sure will. Just a minute, Tom. I'll get it.
Okay. Thank you.
Houston, this is Charlie Brown.
Go ahead, Charlie Brown.
I'm glad they don't put them days one on top of each other, I'll tell you that.
Well, you guys had a real one today, but you sure did good work.
That's not a bad day's work for 4 1/4, is it?
Those machines have been doing the work. They really were slick.
Yeah, we also had a lot of good help from you down on the ground, and we sure appreciate it. I thought the total system and everything with the flight was for the test system turned out real well. We still had some rough spots and some comms and a few other things, but by and large, the whole system pulled it off, and it made us real happy. But needless to say, we're a little bit tired tonight. Over.
Well, we can sure understand that, Tom, and we concur in everything you say.
Hey, tell I'll buy Super Fido and Super Guido a beer for that CSI bird.
Roger that.
This is Mission Control.
This thing is really a slicky boy. It knows right where it's going all the time. All those solutions were just, shoot, you can just flip the coin and pick any of them.
This is Apollo Control. We're assuming, based on Tom Stafford's remark, that the crew is quite tired, that we will not be getting the TV transmission that had been scheduled during the app's burn to depletion.
29 temperature, package temperature on the ground here, Tom. Did you say you were reading 390?
Not the package temperature, the helium tank temperature.
Okay, copy, helium tank. Okay, Charlie Brown, this is Houston. We've had ullage. Arm the engine.
Where is it?
Okay, we got ignition on Snoopy, Charlie Brown.
Hey, I may see it out there. I'm not sure, but I think I do. I do.
Very good.
I'll see if I can tell you when he burns out. Oh, it's a long burn, though, isn't it? 4 minutes.
Yeah, can you tell which way he's going?
Yeah. Babe, it's just fire to me. I think he's going up. But, see, I'm not right side up either, but... Joan, as long as I can see the fire, I guess he's going the other way.
Roger, from down here, he looks like he's doing real good, Dino.
Joe, would he be burning away from us? Sort of like, maybe his attitude's local horizontal or close to it?
Charlie Brown is Houston, that's affirmative. He should be going in that direction.
Yeah, I got him out my right-hand window here. He's getting smaller and he's still on fire. How much more burn time has he got?
Stand by, I'll find out.
Hey, it just went out. It just went out.
Okay, we've got him still burning.
Maybe that's because the sun went down.
Yeah, maybe. We've got him still burning, Gino, and about 40 seconds burn time yet.
Okay, maybe that looked like him. Maybe it wasn't.
Deke says he thinks he may have turned around and probably burning back at
you
now.
I fixed those switches so he couldn't do that. I'm glad to see that he's burning that. I didn't screw up or something in there.
Roger.
I'm trying to remember now what I forgot in there, what I left in there, my helmet or something.
The way he took off, it doesn't look like you left very much in there at all.
Man, we had plisses and probes and drogues and all sorts of things on there. How far will you be able to track him?
Probably for several hours.
Is he really going to the sun?
Well, he's going that general direction.
God, I feel sort of bad about that because he's a pretty nice guy. He treated us pretty well today.
Roger, that's firm.
That's what I talk about using up a piece of hardware, though, ain't it?
Now, Roger that.
This is Apollo Control. We show that we achieved a velocity of about 3,700 feet per second from that burn. The nominal burn time would have been around 3 minutes 34 seconds. We'll have some refinements to that later. In order to conclude the change of shift press conference that was in progress when this pass began, we will take the circuit down, record any subsequent communications with the spacecraft, and play those back for you following the completion of the change of shift press conference. This is Apollo Control at 108 hours, 58 minutes.
Resumption of the change of shift press conference in the auditorium of Building 1.
However, that happens yet.
No, well, you don't have that.
No, I don't know how that happened.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure they are, too.
Okay, we're ready to start again.
Pretty big books, too.
We're ready to start again now, and Mr. Lannon gets the first question. Okay, let's take this question right down here.
How did the landing, the lunar module landing radar, check out?
Well, we don't fully know that yet. The number that I gave you earlier was an attempt to correlate for you that the altitudes that the vehicle at were approximately the same as set up by the guidance system and the ground targeting and by the landing radar as it measured the slant range when it went over the surface. Now, where exactly it measured that range, et cetera, I'm not very sure of. As a matter of fact, I don't know. But the lowest number it reached, as I told you earlier, was 47,000 feet. And within the tolerance of what we're dealing with here in this quick post-flight data, that would tend to substantiate the altitude that we expected and that we targeted and set up for. So I guess it worked. Right now, I'd have to say it worked well as far as we can tell.
Margin of error at the...
No.
For the ECOM, just for the record, are you satisfied that the communications will work on the surface of the moon in view of the mud that we had today with the spacecraft attitudes that existed at the time?
I'm sure that after today we'll take a close look at that. I think take a close look at the attitude timeline from a steerable antenna standpoint, I think that will work out real well.
The easiest thing in the world, Harry, is to point it when it's sitting still. It's when you got to fly through all the maneuvers and do landmark tracking and photographs and then burns that you can't lock the antenna on completely all the time. That's the hard part. Once you're on the surface, it's easy to lock it on.
A problem of any reflectance from the lunar surface or anything like that.
Yeah, and by a lock problem, I mean that it wasn't always in an attitude such that the antenna could even see the Earth. Okay.
Mark Bloom. Glenn, the staging problem caused a great deal of confusion today. And
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
The staging problem caused a great deal of confusion today,
yes.
And it was referred by some news media as a harrowing experience, others as a near disaster, and others as a foreboding evil for Apollo 11. How would you characterize the situation?
Well, first off, as I tried to say earlier, what actually happened was not a translation maneuver. We were in orbit, and the event that happened in no way made one crash into the moon or anything like that. It simply rotated the vehicle. The comment that the pilot made was that something wild happened here, and what they meant by that, based on my experience in dealing with these particular guys and guys in general in these circumstances, is that the machine did something unexpected. The consequences of what it was doing, if the pilots had allowed it to continue on what it was doing, is that the machine would have pointed the LEM and the windows, the front end of the LEM with the rendezvous radar at the command module, and they would have gotten nothing worse than a rendezvous radar lock-on with the command module. Okay? So the event was unexpected, and that is what caused the statements that were made. The response of the pilots was to take over the attitude of the vehicle manually and fly it back to where they wanted it. Okay?
I'm a little slower than usual this time of the morning, but I want to see if I can get this straight one more time. This whole problem was caused because the vehicle was out of configuration, and it was out of configuration because a switch was omitted from the checklist.
A switch now, position. Yes,
a switch
the position,
position
of a switch was not in the checklist where it could have been telling him to go to that position on the switch, attitude hold.
It was in auto?
Yes.
And there was just nothing in the checklist that said move it to manual?
That's
is that right?
Nothing in there to say move it to attitude hold. That is correct.
To move it to attitude hold?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
For the record, would you give the burn times and velocities and all that? You can do it now or later.
Be glad to do it now.
Would anybody that doesn't get them the first time please get them later from Phil?
Separation occurred at the separation maneuver, if you will, at 98 plus 47 plus 16, the delta V of 3.2 feet per second. DOI was at 99 plus 46 plus 01 was 71.2 feet per second. Phasing 100 plus 58 plus 25 176.7 feet per second. Staging was at 102 plus 45 plus 01 with effective 0 delta V. Insertion 102 plus 55 plus 01, 221 feet per second. CSI was 103 plus 45 plus 55, 45.3 feet per second. CDH 104 plus 43 plus 52, 3.1 feet per second. TPI at 105 plus 22 plus 55, 24 feet per second. Okay.
He didn't write anything down.
He's got his tape recorder going.
Go ahead.
106.22 is what I copied in the control center for hard docking head.
During the gyrations when they were afraid of gimbal lock, I presume this is on the primary guidance system, would the LEM, if they had gone into gimbal lock, would the LEM abort guidance system been sufficient to solve any problem?
Yeah, it wouldn't have locked there, would it, Joe?
No, the AGS is a body-mounted system, and it's a body-mounted system, and it does not have the problem of gimbal lock. It would have been all right. They would have gone to the, as Glenn said, they could have gone to gimbal lock, gone to this new attitude, flown around to the burn attitude, and done the burn on AGS with no problem at all.
And didn't Tom Stafford say that he thought it was going to gimbal lock?
It was close, yeah. But they got
Jim,
it out.
The abort guidance computer, was in a program that was going to point the radar at the command module, right? And it just figures the problem out to go the shortest way, ignoring what's in between here and there. And it was on its way, and it was going, you know, by what is called gimbal lock in the primary system. Okay?
Once again, I would appreciate it if someone could go through a few minute details involved in the staging procedure. Do you hit a switch or is something triggered which starts an RCS thrust and then you have separation, or is it separation and then a small RCS thrust to get away from the descent stage? And was it at that point when you had a burn that some different RCS came in?
The staging sequence varies depending on where you are. If you're on the lunar surface, it's a different than in orbit. The procedure that the 10 crew had worked out was that they would be in AGS guidance control, and the lunar module pilot, Gene Cernan, would thrust posigrade. They were in a retrograde position. He would thrust posigrade. In other words, he would back down 2 feet per second. Tom would stage the vehicle, and he would thrust forward 2 feet per second. And effectively, everybody's looking blank.
Effectively, then the ascent stage is on the same trajectory, and the descent stage has got 2 feet per second and going away from you,
and in a different orbit. Okay, here we're this way, we're going around this way. We add 2 feet per second this way. We stage, and then we bring the ascent stage back this way 2 feet per second. So effectively, we're in the same orbit. The descent stage has had 2 feet per second delta velocity added to it. And it goes on into the same orbit that we were in. The ascent stage was in at phasing, so it's long gone.
Ed?
Your description of what would have happened had procedures gone on without Tom flying himself out of it, if you'd go a step further and indicate this best you can figure it out, why did he go ahead and take over manual control?
Well,
why didn't he ride on through and
because he was faced with a situation that was unexpected, and it wasn't going where he wanted. So he took it over and put it where he wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Any more questions? Thank you very much.
All burned to depletion.